Hazreti Mevlana Rum rahmetullahi aleyh seyiz. Shut your eyes. Your mouth, your ears, and your heart. Thereafter, if you don't experience a nur within your heart, then you may blame me. Shut your mouth, your eyes, your ears, and your heart against wrong. Wrong or anything that is of a doubtful nature. You saw someone coming from the other end and you are in doubt whether it's a man or it's a woman. Now, this is of a doubtful nature. One is you know exactly that this is a man and this is a woman. But you don't know who it is. It seems to be a young person. And you don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. Or just to go and ascertain, don't take a second glance. The chances is that it may be a girl and you will look at something that you're not supposed to be looking at. The same with the ears. Now you're sitting in a gathering and maybe there is some type of a jais talk that's going on. And it's also possible that there's some good talk that's going on. People are talking about mashayikh, pious people, etc. This is the discussion that's going on. So the nature of the talk is good. As long as there is some good talk that is going on, as though there is a hail of nur that's coming in. So there's blessings that are coming in, pouring into that place. But the moment the talk borders with wrong, some ghibat, some gossip, or someone is being embarrassed and disgraced, sarcasm is being used against someone, or someone is trying to belittle the other, and how you have it, some people are such that when they flip and they're angered, then they revert to all old stories, bring up all the old stories, all old records, they bring it back, small or big. Someone uses sarcasm, someone uses old stories to get back at you. So in different ways, they use strategies and ways to belittle you, to embarrass you, to disgrace you, to bring harm to you. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah speaks about the sicknesses of the tongue. And it's not one, but 30 or 40 is counted. These are also the problem of the tongue. This is also another problem of the tongue. So as long as there is good talk that is going on, then you sit there, and as though it is a shower of nur that's raining there, and you're enjoying. But the moment there is some wrong that is going on, or you're not sure that is the nature of the talk right or not right, then move away. If you have the influence, you have the strength, then you tell them, see, this is the wrong that's going on, but you don't have the strength, then move away. Straight. These people that have excelled in deen, then this is how they have excelled. We hear the one side of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and how he'd excelled and what khidmat and services he had rendered for deen, right? So there must have been a tremendous amount of noor in his heart. Tremendous amount of noor. Allah Ta'ala granted him that opportunities. Otherwise, everybody doesn't get that opportunity. Like the Quran says, that I will not take a wrong person as a support. Adu, that was the ayat. ma kuntu muttakhidhil mudillina aduda. The person that is wrong, he's taking people wrong, so I don't use him. I won't employ him, I won't use him for my work. Because he's wrong, his heart is covered in darkness. If I'm going to use him, then he's not going to spread nur, he's going to spread darkness. So, ma kuntu muttakhidhal mudillina aduda. So you can imagine Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi, how much of precaution he must have exercised. How much of precaution he must have exercised that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with such nur that the nur is carrying on till this day. You read his kitab and you feel, up till now you feel a sense of nur. There was one Shah Abdul Aziz Dabbagh rahmatullahi alayhi, a total ummi, illiterate, he couldn't read one word, one alphabet he couldn't read. And he could tell you, if someone was reciting to him, he could tell that this is the Quran that is being recited, and this is the Hadith of Qudsi, and this is not Hadith Qudsi, it is Hadith but not a Hadith of Qudsi, and this is forged up and made up. So he'll tell you exactly, Quran, Hadith of Qudsi, non-Hadith of Qudsi, and what is faked and forged up. So they asked him, how do you make that out? So when the Quran Sharif is recited, then I can see a non-ending nur, nur, continuous. There's no end to that nur. Obviously the Quran Sharif is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. And kalam is a sifat of Allah Ta'ala. And just as the being of Allah Ta'ala is forever, then his sifat are also forever. There's no beginning and no end to it. Hence, when the Quran is being recited, then there is a perpetual nur. Because it's continuous, there's no beginning, there's no end to it. Continuous and continuous. Then when I see the hadith, then there is somewhat less nur. There is nur, but the nur comes to a certain point and it cuts off. Right? Then when I see things that are made up, faked up, then they are void of nur totally. They don't have any nur at all. So this type of nur the person that enjoys this type of nur, he must have got stocks and stocks of nur, that his nur is continuous until this day. And look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and the nur that he has left behind, that is also continuous. I don't think there is any madrasa in any part of the world the Imam Abu Hanifa's name is not taken. So many times, over and over. Imam Saab ka qawl hai, ya Shaykhain, ya Sahibin ka qawl hai. Imam Saab ka qawl hai, ya Sahibin ka qawl hai. How many times? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, and so many times his name is taken, repeated. All madrasas, every madrasa, and in masjids as well, name is taken. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Mistaken, repeated, repeated, repeated. So what stocks of nur these people must have had? That they passed away. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah passed away 150, right, approximately. So approximately 1200 years, more than 1200 years, 1200 and maybe 1300 years since he's passed away. Right? 1300 years, but when you are reading his statements and quotations as though he was here just now. As though he was here just now and you are quoting his statements. His statements are being quoted now. So this is the athar of ilm nafi. This is the athar of ilm haqiqi and ilm nafi. That the man passes away, but he's alive in the kitabs. He's alive in the lives of people. He's alive in dini circles, in righteous circles, he's still alive. He's still alive because life is work. Right? If there's no work, there's no life. What is life? Life is work. Right? Man is alive, but he's just sleeping all the time. What do you say? He's good as dead, right? But the man is not so fit. But you see, he's doing some work all the time. Some work he's doing all the time. As long as he's doing work, you see he's alive. So Imam Sabr Rahmatullah Alayhi must have died and gone, right? But he's alive. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi must have died and gone, but he's alive because his works are carrying on and on. So what must have been the ingredient in these people's lives through which Allah Ta'ala gave them an eternal life? There must be something, some additional thing. It can't be just the theory. It can't be just the theory. There is something additional that they had. Otherwise, they are great, great people, right? And after they have died and they have gone, then nobody remembers them. Out of great people. We've done great work as well, but then after they have died and they have gone, then they aren't remembered. These people that are remembered, why are they remembered so often? So there must be something additional in their lives. So you hear of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, you hear of them, that they say that since we understood the malady of the tongue, ghibat, etc., we never committed the wrong. We just had to hear it once, and that was enough. Now, these are the people jo mansha dekh karke chalte hai. Mansha of the Nubuwat was not to get involved in this thing here. That's the mansha of the Nubuwat, Nabi Sun's mansha. So ye mansha dekh karke chalte hai. Now won't Nabi Sun be pleased with them? One is I have to keep telling you, do this, don't do this, don't do this. So don't I feel indifferent towards you? Okay, how many times I'm telling this person here, but he doesn't want to listen? How many times he listens to my hadith, but yet carries on doing the wrong? He just does his own thing. And once he has heard from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, directly or indirectly, but the moment he took it very serious. You know, this is my Nabi Sam's call. So, aise logo ko kehte ke manshe ko janne wale, mansha ko pehchanne wale. When you're going to be offering work to someone, then who do you offer the work to? You offer the work, now you've got two people, right, working for you in your shop. Right? One is he's fulfilling the hours. You ask him to come at 8 and go at 5, so he's completing the hours. Tell him to do this, pack up this, sell that, buy that, and write these books and all that. So he does that, right? He doesn't disobey you. And this, the second person, that apart from not disobeying you, he's taking care of your shop as though it is his own shop. He's looking at the weekends. He's looking at the business opportunities. He's looking for better opportunities for you, better presentation, better marketing. He's showing you where you are losing out. And he's showing you what you can do to improve this business. And in his free time also, he's thinking about your business. He saw that some strange person is eyeing your business, and he seems to be a robber. So he's alerting you, he's cautioning you, right? So he takes your business as though it is his own business. It is your business, but he regards your business as his own business. So what do you say about him? That ye mere manshe ko janta hai. Mere se mohabbat rakhta hai. That's what you say. Don't you say? He's got a love for me. He understands. And he's thinking for me. Now, when You say he's thinking for me, then don't you give him more opportunities? Then you'll tell him, you run an entire branch, an entire division, you must run the thing. Because I've got so much of trust in you. You understand my mansha, you understand my desire, you understand what I want. So I have so much of trust in you that you run an entire division. See that? So these were these people here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. They understood the very mansha of Nabi Sallam, what Nabi Sallam wants. What was his disposition? What was his tabiat like? What he wanted? They understood it. And they didn't have to be told the second time. They heard it once, was once, and that remained with them. So how pleased Nabi Sallam would not have been with them when the actions are presented before Nabi Sallam. How pleased won't Nabi Sallam be with them? Okay, one time they heard it, and just with one listening, and they took my word so seriously. So won't he be pleased with them? And when Nabi Sallam is pleased, then isn't Allah Ta'ala pleased? And if Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then won't the opportunities open up for the person? So once he heard about the misuse of the tongue, and then said, no, first day and last day, I'm not going to get into this again. This was the first, this was the last. Now you're not going to see me doing this again. So these are the people that had drowned themselves in the very mansha of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said once, and let's it be. So I'm not going to do it again. So then won't these people get that type of opportunity? We like to get opportunities, right, to do something. And we like that type of opportunities that will continue, it will recur, right, till the day of Qiyamah. If there was a day beyond the day of Qiyamah, then even beyond the day of Qiyamah, it must recur, right? But then what kicks this in? What activates this? You know, we want something to activate it. That machine must be, that the sawab machine must be activated. So what's going to activate the sawab machine? You heard this of Nabi Sassam once, it was once and it's over. I don't need to hear it for the second time. Yeah. They take it so seriously. One muhaddith is relating one hadith to one villager. So that muhaddith is saying, astaskiruhu, I will repeat this thing here so that it remains in your memory. I will repeat this so that, but just hold on. You see, my age is about 65 and I made about 50 hajjs. Right? And the first hajj I made, this was the day of departure. This was the camel that I hired. And this was the camel that I used for the entire journey and I came back. The second one, this is the time I left. This was the camel that I had embarked upon and I had returned with. Every year that I did Hajj, I know of the plane of that camel that I used. And I asked the students many a time, you went for Umrah, which plane you took? You remember the number? Just now you bought the plane. It got some numbers, 7, 2, 4, 5, whatever. This is the number of the flight, right? And it may be a day or 2 days ago that you had boarded that plane, but you can't remember the flight class. This is your memory, this is their memory. So you see how they took Nabi Sassam. They took him too dearly, very, very dearly. His words were taken dearly. The application was taken dearly. Everything of his was taken and was taken very, very serious. It wasn't taken lightly. I heard it once. Now I need to understand, I must apply this thing, how must I apply it, and I must apply it full. I mustn't apply it half. Then attakhidha al-mudhillina aduda. Allah Pak is saying, I won't take these people, I won't give them opportunities. To support my deen, I'm not going to use them. Then attakhidha al-mudhillina aduda. I'm not going to use these people, that they support my deen, I'm not going to use them. So then these opportunities open up to them. And then in proportion to their ikhlas, in proportion to the nur that they have got, and the nur is in proportion to ikhlas. Nur is in proportion to commitment. So much of commitment, so much of ikhlas, and so much of nur I'm giving you. Then the nur goes, see, it goes so far. There was one Buzurg, some Abu Isa or something, I can't remember his name exactly. Musnad al-Firdaus, who's the author? What data me? You know? The Musnad al-Firdaus. All right. So in his youth, he was being pursued by a young, pretty girl. Exceptionally beautiful, very, very, very beautiful. Extremely handsome he used to be. So he was being pursued by a girl. Pretty, attractive, etc., everything. And each time, he avoided her. She tried and he avoided. She tried and he avoided. He means some way or the other, but he avoided her. It's difficult, really. But then you want the type of nur, you want the nur that you have to make, the type of qurbani, sacrifice. Sacrifice is not only striking the sword. Sacrifice is not only leaving the home, but it's also a sacrifice. Someone is pursuing you and you are resisting. They're attracting you and you're resisting. So this is also sacrifice. And sometimes this sacrifice is even more serious. Right? So she's pursuing him and he is resisting. He's holding back. For a man, it's very difficult. For a woman to resist is easier. Because that shame and modesty is like her makeup, part of her makeup. It's natural in her to be modest. It's not natural in her to be shameful, right? But a man, and he's being pursued, he says, there must be some kamal in me, you know. For all these people to be running after me, there must be something good in me. So his ego gets the better over him. Right? Doesn't it happen? The ego gets the better over him and he falls prey to this problem. Now, this woman here, she is pretty and attractive. She's young, wealthy and everything else. And she's fallen in love with this person. This Buzurg understands he's young, but he's avoiding her. He's avoiding. She's taking some other road. Or when she's trying to ensnare him and he's speeding off, doing something, but he's running. Now, one day he went into some bagh, some orchard. It's all fenced from all sides. So he went in. This woman, this girl here saw that he went into this bagh that is walled up from all sides. So stealthily she crept into this. And she locked the place. He realized that he's trapped. There's no way to get out. Now she's running after him. So the moment she ran after him, you know, the type of a shock he got, a 2 or 3 meter wall, he scaled and jumped off. Like how someone gets a shock, you know. And in the shock he does things that he would not normally do. Normally you can't scale a wall that is 2 meter or 3 meter. One go you can't do it. Normally you can't do it. But when you're in the state of a shock, he just scale off. So his level of taqwa was such, you know, he's trapped here and he just scaled that wall one shot, 3 meters and off. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala saved him. He's saved from the scene. See what I'm showing you, this nur, and how Allah Ta'ala blesses this nur. Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, he wasn't a formal alim, right? But you see the opportunities that Allah Ta'ala blessed him. If you look at the Tabligh Jamaat movement, then its forerunners are from him, his students, right? If you look at madrasas, the forerunners are him. Jihad movements, and the forerunners are from him. If you look at hadith, then the forerunners are from him. All his students or his direct, indirect students, all from there. And you see, he started it off and he brought that type of a nur within him. That everything is all, he's the source. So what opportunities Allah Ta'ala had given him? What we need to see is there must have been something, some ingredient in their lives that Allah Ta'ala blessed them with this type of opportunities. So anyway, this Buzurg, he scaled that fence. Now he's in his old age, 75, 80. He's pensioning off now, retiring. In India they say expiring. Expire ho gaya. Died, expire ho gaya. I don't know if you heard. Someone dies, he expire ho gaya. So anyway, now in his old age, he's sitting and crying. So, you know, I hurt that girl's heart, you know. Had I just given in, then I wouldn't have hurt her heart. I could have made istighfar afterwards. See how the shaitan can play games, eh? And then the shaitan is now explaining, you know, the heart of a Muslim, such a precious thing, more virtuous than the Kaaba Sharif, all that type of stories now the shaitan is bringing up, you see. So that is why they say that man la shaykha lahu fa shaykhu wa shaitan. You don't have a guide, then who's going to be your guide then? Shaitan is going to guide you. And see how he's guiding, how he's misguiding. Do you see that? How he's playing games. Now, because there is hadith also to respect a Muslim and to respect the Muslim's feelings. You must do it. But now, he's confusing the person. See, you know, you could have done that. Later on, you could have made istighfar. Then Allah Ta'ala, your records with Allah Ta'ala would have been straight. And you wouldn't have hurt this Muslim's heart as well. Now, you know, you went and damaged the heart. Irreparable damage you have done. Now that thought is running in his mind. And then he shrieked out crying. He said, Allah Ta'ala, you know, when I was young, I didn't get myself involved in this wrong. Now in my ripe old age, I'm about pensioning off. And then this type of thoughts are storming my mind. These wrong thoughts are storming my mind. So anyway, he cried and he cried. That these type of thoughts are storming the mind. So he saw Rasulullah Paksam in the dream. And Rasulullah Paksam is explaining to him that don't worry, your maqam is preserved by Allah Ta'ala. Whatever position you had by Allah Ta'ala, that position has not been decreased in any way. You haven't lost anything. What maqam you had strived for, you had worked for, and you had endeavored, that position is secured. It is not altered at all. You are as you were, nothing has gone off. But this indifference that you went through, this type of a different state that you went through, wasn't because of a deficiency of your maqam and your position. It was as a result of you being distanced from my zamana. As you are closer to my zamana and my era, my time, then the light of nubuwwat will be stronger. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. So, every mu'min enjoys from the niche of nubuwwat, from that light and that lamp of nubuwwat, every person enjoys, right? But he enjoys, to what extent he enjoys? He enjoys in proportion to the proximity. The proximity, sometimes it is physical, sometimes it is spiritual. So in proportion to the proximity, you enjoy. Now, you are moving in time, right? You have moved in time. When you moved in time, so that niche of nubuwwat, that lamp of nubuwwat is still there. It has not moved away. It is still there. But you have moved away in time. So when you have moved away in time, that nur is not like what it used to be then. At that time, that nur was very strong, very fierce, very strong, very powerful. Magnificent nur it was. So one shot you could see the right, one shot you could move away. In one instance you could do it. Now that you have moved away in time, so you cannot see it so clearly as you could see it then. You saw it then and you saw it much more clearer. Now that you have moved on in time, so you still have that nur, but it is not as strong and magnificent as it used to be then. See? So, what it brings to our attention, that every day is better than the coming day. Today is better than tomorrow. La ya'ti 'ala an-nasi zamanun illa wa ba'dahu sharrun minhu. Every day is better than the coming day. Because